I'd like to excuse Stephen Malin. This is Alan. I'll be conducting the call. Malin wasn't feeling well this morning, and so Steve has taken her to the doctor. So it's very unusual for neither Steve nor Malin to be on a Saturday morning call. But we appreciate that they're doing what they need to be, Steve taking care of Malin and Malin taking care of herself. So we excuse them from the call, but I'll run through announcements, and we've got a great guest presenter going to give us a great message today, so we'll just go ahead and get started. And that will be by Steve Wilson, but I'll introduce him in a moment. So running through our announcements, those of us participating in the I Am Limitless Challenge, including the Diet Bet, isn't that a lot of fun? I was looking at the little summary that comes up online yesterday, and I noticed that we have lost 133.3 pounds just since the start with 47 players. So congratulations, everybody. Kudos. The diet bet amount is up to, I think it's 1,645. So that's a lot of fun. So that's been great, but let's keep at it. Let's keep using the product, and let's keep moving more and eating less. And that has been, that's been a secret for me and the success I've had. I'm real excited. I've been able to lose a few pounds. And, you know, it takes something like this with people encouraging each other and some fun with the Diet Bet Challenge. At least for me, that's really helped a lot to be able to have all of you supporting and encouraging and have us in that together. So thank you, and let's keep it up. I'd also like to run through some announcements that were in The Voice this past week. And just a reminder, anytime a new distributor enrolls, they are automatically signed up for The Voice with their email address. And it's a great way to get information and be kept up to date on everything going on at the company. We've got product promotions, we've got business incentives. There's just always a lot of news. And so if you want to get a good reminder about everything we have going on from the corporate office, then just grab that Voice and take a look at it and stay fresh with the information on there. A reminder that we have our early bird tickets pricing available for just a few more days through the end of the month for the upcoming fly-ins. Hey, and wasn't this last fly-in great? Everyone I've talked to, and the feel there was just powerful. It was great information about the product, great information about the business, great training from leaders about how we can grow our organizations. It was a great event, and we're looking forward to the additional fly-ins this year. Of course, the next one is coming up in May. Mark your calendars, May 18th through 20th, and get registered for that. The early bird price is only $60 for that, and you can even register for the September fly-in, September 14th through 16th. That's only $60, but you know there's a special if you purchase tickets for both May and September together, it's only $100. So you're getting those for $50 a piece. Wow, what a great value, what a great opportunity. And if you do that, we're even getting to give you a discount off of the convention that we're already running for and building for going on next year in February. And so you get 10% off with your fly-in ticket, or if you do both of them with the $100, we're going to give you 20% off your convention ticket. Now, we're not selling the convention tickets yet, but you're right there in line for a discount off that when it comes. So a lot of exciting events. You know, Steve always talks about this, but events are such an important part of building our business. And you know, it's in the years I've been in the industry, I've really realized it's the leaders of tomorrow are those that attend the events today. And it is so true. It helps us stay at the top of our game. And that's where commitments are made in this industry, in this business. As you feel the emotion, you feel the information, the training, and the power of the group together, those around you, and the success they've experienced, it's a great time to make commitments and to have a plan and put together your individual business plan of what you're going to do next until the next event to grow your organization and get the information and tools you need to do that. Also at the event, of course, at the last fly-in, we talked and announced the 2-in-14 promo, and we're really excited about this, and it's fun to see some traction out in the field coming around this. You know, enroll two new distributors that get on LDR AutoShip, two new customers that get on LDR AutoShip within your first 14 days, extra $200 bonus. So, you know, for our new distributors. That's the model that you can go out and teach and they can duplicate with K. You're on board, the clock's ticking, 14 days, get your two new distributors, your two new customers, and get that extra bonus. And that's going on until they may fly in. But of course, we didn't, and there's volume requirements, that founding team volume of 2,000. So click on the information in the voice to get all the details. But we also didn't want to leave out all of you existing distributors to give you something to run out also. So same thing, two new distributors, two new customers. In fact, we're giving you guys until the end of the month, the 2,000 founding team volume. As your new people come in and get that volume, and you get a $200 bonus. But wait, we're doubling it to $400 for current distributors that do that. So a lot of great things to run out. We've got end of the month coming up just next week. So let's end strong and let's end with a lot of qualifiers at that extra bonus. And remember, as those new people are coming on, as you're bringing them in, teach them that 2 and 14, and that gives them one more advantage and bonus to run out. And we also announced excited to be running toward our next incentive, and the qualifying period is beginning this month, February, going through January of next year. And all the details are in the voice, but it's really focused on growing your organization, making sure that organization is growing, and of course qualifying for our X5 and X10 VIP club that we announced at the event. We're really excited to really recognize and reward people who are building on that front line and growing their organizations. So that's the kind of thing that first line duplication, as that gets going through the organization, and everybody does that, it's just amazing to see how the volumes will just add up and qualification and rank up will happen, and we're really excited about that. So to qualify for the incentive, grow your OV, participate in the X5, X10, rank advance, and of course personally sponsor people who have also rank advanced. So really in this incentive, we tried to hit a lot of the different ways that you can qualify and earn bonus that way. All right, we talked about the X5, the X10, let's see. Oh, another note, we have a RTA announcement. We're increasing the price on RTA beginning April 1st. And so we just want to get the note out there so you can purchase RTA at the current price until then. Great product, and so you want to be sure you're stocking up on RTA. A reminder that we have, as I mentioned, end of month coming up this coming week, and so the office will be open for will call the last day of the month, and so we'll look forward to seeing local distributors, anyone who wants to come join us to wrap up the end of the month strong, and of course Monday, the day before, we'll have our noon product call. So a lot of exciting things going on, and we appreciate your participation and your enthusiasm and running at everything we've got going. So with that, I'm pleased that we have Steve Wiltson on the line with us today. And Steve, I was able to watch your presentation at the fly-in twice. It was exciting to be watching yours and Sandy's. I guess I saw it once delivered by you and once delivered by Steve Campbell, and that was fun to see too. So it was great to have your expertise there, your experience, and I'm really pleased that you can share with us this morning on the call some highlights from that. I have just really enjoyed getting to know Steve over the past while. He's a great leader, and we're very fortunate to have him a part of our Limitless family. And you just bring some great experience, Steve, and I was excited when Steve Campbell invited you to participate on the call today, and we'll turn it over to you to share with us your thoughts.
Well, thanks, Alan. I sure appreciate it. The fly-in was a great event. I really enjoyed it, and the format was, just made it really easy to connect with people, and Sandy's presentation was incredible. I felt like an opening act for the main gig, so... She did
a great job.
Yeah. So what I was asked to talk about was, the very beginning when you're a distributor, what are the things you have to learn? And certainly, our job, if you're going to build a big business, and I tend to only talk about, making significant income because that's what's important to me. And so, if you're only going to make $1,000 a month, you still have to go through these steps. But if you're going to make really big income, you're really going to have to apply these and then also teach everybody on your team to do this. So what it really takes to build a big business is, one, we have to gather customers. The more customers in your organization, the bigger your volume, and you need to build a team. The more people you have on your team, the more potential customers you can reach. And so that customer base just gets bigger and bigger the larger your team is. And so our primary job as distributors is to collect decisions from both, you know, prospective customers and prospective business partners. Do you want to try the product now, or do you want to be in the business with me now? Now, if they say no, that doesn't mean it's no forever, but certainly I'm trying to collect decisions. I want a yes or a no. Maybes drive me crazy. They hang on forever. They cause you to do a lot of follow-up. They just drive you nuts. So our job is to collect decisions. And so for me, there's really just a three-step process. We identify prospects, and we strike up interest. We present our business to them, and then we collect a decision. And there's a great quote, John Wooden, the great, you know, Wizard of Westwood basketball coach, said that the more concerned we become over the things we can't control, the less we will do with the things we can control. And so when I look at that list, you know, I can't determine if someone's going to say yes or no. That's not up to me. I can't even determine whether someone's going to let me show them my business or not. The only thing I can do, the only thing I can control, is identifying prospects and striking interest. So inviting them to take a look. That's it. That's the only thing I can control. So that's what I'm going to focus on. And so the most common question I get of new business partners is, who do I talk to and what do I say? So that's what we're going to talk about. Who do I talk to? Well, where do you start? First thing you do is create your list. Cindy Maddox does a great job of training this. And you know, your list is the fuel that feeds your pipeline. Without a list, without people to talk to, you can't grow your business. And if you have a small list, it's a scary thing. Because if I only have 10 people on my list, and I go out and I talk to two people today, and they say no, 20% of my list is gone. But if I have 200 people, you know, I have this sense of urgency. I got to get through this list as fast as I can. And so those two people mean, you know, they're just insignificant in the overall realm of things. So I have to have people to talk to. So why does building a list work? Well, one, it doesn't cost anything. Every single person you come across can do it. Everyone can write a list. This takes no technical skill, doesn't take any money to do it. It's fast and it can work quickly. And if you look at the industry as a whole, every single billion-dollar company in our industry was created with people creating lists. Wasn't done on the internet, wasn't done on the radio or TV or anyplace else. It was people talking to people. They created lists and they got the word out. And you can use this list over and over and over again. If you have that list, you can cultivate it. In fact, we were really lucky. If you were at the boot camp, the presidential camp, Alan Michaelis actually did this incredible job. And Alan, I really do think everybody should hear this training that you did on how to cultivate your list and build those relationships and contact people with no agenda, just to find out what's going on and to stay connected. And it was incredibly well done. So where are the
Thank
easiest
you.
places to start with this list? Well, family, friends, business, community. Those in your family, extended family. Think about all of them. All the friends, people that you do business with or people that do business with you. And obviously the people in your community. Who do you know? Who coaches the baseball teams, the basketball teams? Who are the other parents on the teams that your kids have been involved with? You know, are you part of some kind of a community outreach group or some kind of, you know, who are your neighbors? Who are those people that live around you or the people that you see on a regular basis in your community? Other places to find names, obviously go straight to your cell phone, go to your email, look at your social media. And don't forget to go look at your spouse's social media as well, because oftentimes you may not be connected, but you know those people. So, you know, connect with them as well. There's a great site called classmates.com where you can go and find people that you went to school with, past coworkers. And that's one we oftentimes forget is look at all the people that we've worked with over the years if you've been in traditional jobs. Anyone you know who's ever done network marketing, approached you about network marketing, or maybe you did network marketing with in a different company. And certainly don't overlook people who know you. One of the most successful guys. In fact, he spoke to Limitless People, Todd Smith. He was a very successful real estate agent, and he had been at the top and won awards in Florida. And he recognized that even though he didn't know all the realtors, most of them at least had heard of him or might know him from his accomplishments. So he made sure that he reached out to them. So don't forget about that. Or if you've been a coach or a teacher or a, you know, there are a lot of people who may know you that you don't necessarily know. Make sure that you're reaching out to them as well. And you want to be continually adding to your list. But, you know, really the three keys to a great list is, first, don't prejudge. Everyone goes on the list. And I have this personal story where I was creating a list, and a guy popped into my mind. This is somebody I absolutely don't like. I'd never invite him to be part of my business. I wouldn't invite him, to go to lunch. I might not even let him cross the street in front of me. I mean, it's not just somebody I don't like at all. Not a good guy. But I made myself write his name down, and then a few minutes later, that name reminded me of someone else who reminded me of someone else. That person got into my business and made me thousands of dollars per month, all because I believe, and I don't believe I would have ever thought of them had I not written his name down, this person
wow.
I really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So very powerful. And then you have to, you know, the second key to a great list is you have to make calls. You have to utilize it. Writing the list is one thing, but then you've got to reach out and start connecting with people. And then third, keep updating your list so that you're adding new contacts to it every day. If you constantly add contacts, then you have more and more to work with. So if I contact three people today, I want to add 3 to 5 people to my list every day as well. So, and how do you add to your list? Well, every day if you're out and about, you're going to have an opportunity to meet new people. And so use the old, you know, compliment and connect. You know, hey, you do a really good job, or you seem really skilled. How long you been doing this? You know, strike up conversations, or you know, if there's a parent that you haven't met and you're at a practice, go introduce yourself and meet them. And no agenda, just go meet them, and then there's somebody mm-hmm. you could add to your list. It doesn't mean you have to contact them at this moment. You don't have to pounce on people, but certainly you can add people to your list every day. There's a great resource that all of you can use if you want to go out and meet new people and get more in the community. Go to meetup.com. Meetup.com, and you can see all kinds of organizations that do meetings in your area. People that are pet lovers, that are hikers, that are joggers, that are fitness enthusiasts, people who have small businesses, all kinds of different groups at meetup.com, and you can go and you can meet with these people and you can meet new people and you can find out what's going on in the community. It's great. One of my favorite resources or favorite groups is Toastmasters. One, I think all of us can benefit from learning how to speak and become better public speakers. So they do a great job of doing that. But also, every single person who comes to a Toastmasters is wanting to improve themselves. So those are the kinds of people that I like mm-hmm. to connect with, people who want to be more than what they are today. And a little tip on Toastmasters is if you go, you don't have to sign up. You can just go and, you know, call and see who's running it, find out when the next meeting is, and say, hey, could I come and just check it out? I'm kind of testing a few out, and you can go visit 3 or 4 or 5 of them and never make a decision about which one you actually want to be a part of, but you'll get to meet different people and you might find a group that you really connect with. The other place I love are trade shows. All of us have towns nearby where they're doing, you know, trade shows, home shows or health shows or conventions of some sort that you can go and walk around. So you don't have to have a booth. One of the techniques that we use, and I had a chance to do this, Mike Salmon up in Ogden, Utah. They had a really, really small home show there. And we went and we just went around and asked people, you know, hey, you know, that were working in the booth. We just stopped by and say, you know, hey, we're thinking about maybe getting a booth next year. How's this working for us? Do you think it'd work for us? And as soon as you ask them, do you think it'd work for us? Their instant response is, well, what do? And now you get to give them your 30-second commercial. And it's amazing how many of them would say, well, yeah, I don't know. That might work. That might not work. And then you can get in conversation with them. How long have you been doing this? Do you like it? So on. And we came out of there with a bunch of leads that we had people to talk to. And the great thing is he got, you know, Mike was wanting to improve his skills, so he got to talk to a whole bunch of people in one day. So he got about a week's worth of experience in a few hours. So it works incredibly
yeah.
well. So, in my opinion, you know, simple disciplines equal big results. Those who succeed don't just know the steps, they implement the steps. Knowing something has no value unless what is known creates action. I mean, how many of us have learned something but then never applied it? It's virtually useless. But apply it and it becomes invaluable. So what do we say? And does what you say matter? Yes, but there's no just one right way. It certainly matters what you say. And you know, there's all kinds of examples of this where you can say things in two different ways. And if you tell someone you love that, you know, you're so beautiful you stop time, you know, that can be very endearing. But if you tell them they have a face that would stop a clock, you know, that could change the meaning a little bit, and you're not going to get that. So you definitely matters what you say, but there's a lot of different approaches. I never want to tell anybody there's only one right way. Certainly having a conversation with someone is the most effective, but I'll tell you, it's also the hardest to teach. So I like to have simple things that I can teach that make it easier for people to get started and be successful at it. They don't feel like they have to be so skilled. You know, somebody like Cindy, you would never want to harness her and say, you know, only use this, because she has so many ways that she can express herself and stories that she can tell. But keeping it simple is best. So if it's simple, I can say it faster, and I can say less to more people. And that's my goal. I want to say less to more people so I can get more people to take a look, collect more decisions faster. And it's far easier to duplicate. And keep in mind, people will want to do with others what you do with them. So whatever you do to introduce somebody, that's what they're going to want to do. So if you keep it simple, then they can do it. If you make it hard, then they're going to struggle. So the goal of the invitation is to get them to agree to just take a look. I don't want to sell them. I don't want to pre-sell them. I don't want to go into a pitch. I don't want to start telling them how great it's going to be. I want to get them to say, yes, I'll take a look. And stay on task. One of the biggest mistakes we see of new people is they want, as soon as someone says yes, then they want to jump in to start telling them. And they don't have enough time to tell them the whole thing. And so all they have a chance to do is tell them enough to say no. They don't have enough time to tell them enough to say yes. So stay on task. Just get them to take a look. And a couple of the magic phrases, and I think these are phrases that everyone should learn. And my favorite is, would it be okay if? So you'll hear me use this a lot. Would it be okay if I sent you a link? Would it be okay if I sent you a phone number so you join us on a conference call? Would it be okay if we got together and talked about it? Would it be okay if has an underlying psychological effect? It's almost like you're asking somebody a favor without having to use the word favor, and they want to say yes to it. So anytime, the most effective approach I've found is when I say, would it be okay if? My next favorite phrase is, the next step is. So I get down presenting the business to somebody, or they take a look at it and say, well, the next step is to get the paperwork done, or the next step is to introduce you to, you know, Ken and Sandy Burgess. The next step is for you to talk to Liz about some strategy. The next step is, you know, talk to Pam about how to use these products. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways, but the next step is lets them know that you're guiding traffic and they're just following along. And my final phrase is, most people. Anytime you say most people, people want to be a part of that. You know, most people who find out that there's a way to make some extra money get pretty excited about it. Or most people who find out that there's a way to have a successful plan B want to take a look. Those kinds of phrases. Or most people who look at this, they choose the 950 pack. Those are the kind of phrases that you want to use. So let me give you just a couple of my favorite approaches to get someone who just wants to take a look. I'm just inviting them to take a look at the business. So let's start with people that I may know, a friend, a business associate, someone I'm hanging out with. And they, you know, we're in a conversation, and a lot of times in these conversations, if you'll listen, they'll complain about something. They'll talk about the weather, they'll talk about something that's going on, they'll talk about plans, but they'll talk about, oh, you know, I wish I had more money, or I wish I, my job's driving me crazy, or we really wanted to go on a bigger vacation, but we just couldn't do it this year. So they're going to express something. And when they do that, very simply, just say, so, John, would you like to do something about it? Would you like to do something about it? That's all it is. And that leaves you an opening. another way to do that is, let's say you're at a party or something, and someone says something about how they'd like to wish they had a boat, or man, they wish they could have that cabin, or they share something with you that they'd like to change in their life. But you're at a party, you're in a situation where you don't really want to approach them. This is what we call the two-step. I can come back later. I can give them a call the next day or a couple days later and say, you know, I was thinking about our conversation. You know, when you said you wanted that new boat, were you serious about that or just kidding around? So you know when you said whatever they said, were you serious about that or just kidding around?
Mm-hmm.
And 99 out of 100 times they'll say, well, I was serious about that. Why? Well, I think I found a way you can make that happen. Would it be okay if? And that's what I go with. A direct approach. You know, I might just call them and say, hey, Mike, I'm calling about business. Are you open to looking at something outside the whatever industry they're in? So outside what you're doing now, or outside the real estate industry, or outside the accountant industry. Are you open to looking at something outside of what you're currently doing now? You can preface that if you want with, I only have a minute. Mike, you've been on my mind. I only have a quick minute, but I was wondering, are you open to looking at something outside what you're currently doing? Well, sure. What do you got? Hey, would it be okay if I just sent you over a quick link? Or would it be okay if I sent you over some information about a conference call? I want you to hear something. And then this is one that I adapted. This one came from a gentleman who built a group of over 750,000 people in his organization. He used one approach almost every single time. And I adapted it a little bit because I wanted it to be, I wanted to have, you know, perfect integrity when doing it. So you simply call someone and you say, hey, John, could I get you to do me a favor? I'm making a serious business move. And I'm looking for some sharp, money-driven people to partner with. I'd like to send you over a video to review. Now, of course, ideally, you'd see what I'd see and we'd partner up. I'd just love that. But I'm not sure if this is a fit for you or not. But I do know you might be in a position to refer people to me. And of course, that means you'll need to feel comfortable with our approach. Would it be okay if I sent over the link, or I sent you over the information to review, or I sent you, or I set up a call, or whatever that is that you're doing? So you're making a big move. You want their opinion, but don't just tell them you want their opinion and that, you know, they can refer people to you. Acknowledge the fact that ideally they'd see what you see and they'd love to partner with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're being completely honest. They appreciate that, right, Michael?
Exactly.
Contact you, you don't want to think I'm manipulating you. You want to know I'm being straight up.
Yep.
So here's one, and this is one that I get a lot. People ask, well, what do you do if you haven't talked to somebody in a long time? Well, there's a couple approaches. One is you can call them and just chit-chat and have a couple of conversations before you ever bring up the business. I don't have that kind of time. Okay, but there are some people you may want to do that with, but frankly, I want to let them know right up front. And so I'll call somebody. I'll say, hey, John, this is Steve. I know we haven't talked in a long time, and I really want to catch up. But first, this is one of those awkward pitch calls. I know none of us likes it. None of us would get one. But would it be okay if I just took 90 seconds, gave you my quick pitch, and then we can get to the fun part and catch up?
Mm-hmm.
Is that? And they. Real and
upfront.
The key here is you have to laugh. You do have to kind of laugh. First, this is one of those awkward pitch calls. I know none of us likes getting them. But would it be okay if I just took 90 seconds and gave you my quick pitch? When you do that, you've been completely honest with them. They appreciate it. It's only going to take 90 seconds. Sure, go ahead. I've never had someone say no. They just say, ah, yeah, sure, go ahead. When you're done, ask them if it's, you know, would it be okay if, and then go on and catch up and hit that personal note. So a couple other quick ones. You meet somebody, you're out and about, and they're working. And you like them. They're sharp. They're somebody that you think would really be good. And you strike up a little conversation. And maybe they say something about, you know, their job or something. Or maybe they don't. Maybe just say, hey, this looks like a really great job. And they'll, you know, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. I ask, are you married to your job or are you somewhat open-minded? Or I might say something like, you seem really sharp. Are you making what you're worth here, or are you somewhat open-minded? And then one of my favorite phrases is, could you see yourself retiring here? So they may sing the praises of where they're working and tell you how much they love it. And as soon as you say, could you see yourself retiring here, they go, oh, no, I've got to do something else. And they're, so you, are you at least a little open-minded? Well, sure. And now I can go at them. So those are some of the approaches. One of the keys when you're making these approaches is don't think you have to have hundreds of them in your back pocket. You don't. Find 1 to 3 that you're comfortable with. Learn them, practice them, use them, keep it simple, and don't let perfection stand in the way of progress. Again, John Wooden says, if you're not making mistakes, then you're not doing anything. I'm positive that a doer makes mistakes. And that's what I think is most important. So get out there, build your list, continually add to that list, and just invite people to go take a look. Invite people to change their lives and collect those decisions. Thanks, Alan.
Steve, that was fantastic. You know, there's so many important parts of this business, but this is where it starts, isn't it? I mean, this is the beginning of growing a group. Is just open your mouth, prospect, talk to people, invite them. Just all the things you've brought up. This is core. And you know, and I think, talk for a minute if you don't mind, Steve. Just a quick question. You know, I think after maybe people they get a rejection or two, and then it's easy to get discouraged. How do you work through that?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is just know that even if you were standing out on a street corner handing out $20 bills, people would still say no. I mean, it's amazing. They do these studies all the time. So what you have to do is try to make it rejection-free. So a lot of these aren't, you know, reliant on me. You know, mm-hmm. Would you like to do something about that? Really, it has nothing to do with about me. Or when you said you wanted this, were you serious about that or just kidding around? That has nothing to do about me. So I take it off of me. They're not saying no to me. And, yep. You know, certainly you have to remember when people say no, it's not about you. If you think it's about you, you'll get depressed. And I had this problem mm-hmm. early going. Every time someone said no, I heard all the chatter, all the negative things my father said to me growing up. You know, I'll never be worth anything. You'll never be successful. You're no good. I would relive all of that emotional experience every time I heard a no. And when I finally recognized that, then I was able to release it. And I understood that people were saying no to where they were in life, not where I was. The other thing, and I got to tell you, this was a tip. We used this, and we used to tell people the first one who gets the 200 no's wins.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get to 200 no's, you're going to get so many yeses, you'll never remember the no's. Folks, people who are making, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a month, they don't remember the no's. They're too busy, you know, celebrating the yeses and working with those people who said yes to help them achieve their result. And that's just the way life is. So certainly, you know, I'm not saying that no's feel good and you're going to have to get used to them, but you look at Sandy Burgess. She doesn't even notice when someone says no. I mean, she's bulletproof. And that's what you want to become is she inspires me because, you know, Sandy didn't care if they say yes or no. You can't convince Sandy or me or Liz or Pam or Cindy or Steve and Malin. You can't convince us this business doesn't work. This industry isn't great. We've lived it. You can't convince us of that. So that helps us to get through there, and you'll get there as well if you'll just keep at it and try to get 10, 20 no's a day. See how fast you can grow in this business. You'll be shocked at what you can accomplish if you'll get a whole bunch of no's because the yeses come with those.
That reminds me of a book I read, and I really enjoyed, Go for No. And the premise of it was, you know, in sales that in fact, if you set a goal of how many no's to get, that you know you're going to get some yeses, just like you said, Steve. And that way, when you do get someone that says no, you know, it's just part of the process, and you're that much closer to the yeses.
Yeah. And, you know, Alan, I that is absolutely true. If you don't understand that getting no's is part of the process, it'll hurt you. But when you understand that that's just part of the process, that's part of the game plan. That's, you know, when I go out and I plant seeds, not every one of them germinates. And that's why we put a whole bunch of, you know, we put several seeds in there because we know most of them aren't going to turn into a plant. But the ones that do, that's where I'm going to get my harvest. Same thing with what we're doing here.
Steve, this was a great training today. Thank you so much for presenting this. It was great at the fly-in, and it was great this morning. This is one I'm sure many people are going to jump back into in the back office and listen to and review. It's a great one to keep in mind. So thank you so much. And let's go ahead and we'll take it off mute, and we'll let everyone say hello and goodbye and go from there.